eBay, and credit card company Discover. It starts next year. PayPal will issue cards plugged into active accounts. Customers can use them as they would cash, checks, and credit cards to make a purchase for merchants connected to the Discover network. It's a sea change for PayPal, which has made its reputation online, now pitting itself against brick and mortar and the three giants of the credit card industry. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
Fishermen always have tales about the big one that got away. But in Hawaii, what got away from Molly Palmer is a world record. She landed a 12-foot marlin in a fishing tournament that weighed 1,022 pounds, easily beating the world record. Should have won her the tournament, but the catch is she had help from her team and they disqualified themselves. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Remember seeing your favorite band with your best friend singing all the lyrics?
Too bad you had to grow up.
Who said? Come to Empire City Casino Sunday evenings in August to catch great acts like Otis Day, Village People, and Sarah Evans. Rock and bop till your mom makes you stop. You know, figuratively. Visit EmpireCityCasino.com for tickets and information. Empire City Casino's Summer Concert Series. Tickets on sale now.
I never thought I had the time. I'm not trained to do that kind of stuff. So I took the first step. I joined my volunteer fire department.
Is there a fire in you? Go to www.fireinyou.org and find out what it takes to be a volunteer firefighter. To be the one running in when everyone else is running out. Not only do you get the satisfaction of helping others, but you get free training, tuition assistance, and other great benefits. Take the first step. Volunteer at fireinyou.org.
Brought to you by the Firemen's Association of the State of New York and funded by U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity on your Thursday. Show the big area high pressure still in firm control of the weather patterns across the nation's midsection right to the east and northeast. There's a frontal system stationary right up along the southeastern coast of the U.S., down around coastal South Carolina, Georgia, and North Florida, and then extending into the Gulf. Common high-pressure system across our region means fair, dry weather for us right through the next several days and probably right in through the middle of next week. It'll be mostly sunny today with our temperatures ranging between 84 and 89 on northwest winds. Mostly clear tonight in the mid-60s. It'll be sunny weather on Friday with Friday's highs middle to upper 80s. Clear to partly cloudy at night in the middle 60s. Saturday back to partial sunshine. Could be an afternoon or early evening thunderstorm in the lower 80s. Sunday's weather's looking partly sunny, highs in the lower 80s. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday generally fair, although by later Wednesday there'll be an increasing chance of some showers. Daytime highs generally ranging in the 80s each day early next week. Recapping for today, plenty of sunshine, highs up to around 87. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Jim Generoso, the New Rochelle Public Library, Cherry Lawn, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
Wherever your travels take you this summer.
Have a great vacation.
Be safe.
All right, off we go.
We'll be here for you when you get back. WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD3.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture. I'm also chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, August 23rd, 2012, the 65th day of summer. It is 10:08 in the morning, and it is kind of a pleasant day for the summer. It's not as hot as it can be. There's a hurricane. Hurricane Isaac is heading for the Republican convention in Florida. I think that's just, and the name Isaac from the Old Testament. Let's see how they handle that. The governor of Florida says, we have lots of experience with hurricanes. We can handle hurricanes. Yeah, okay. Nobody can handle hurricanes. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 35 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:13 this morning. It will set at 7:41 this evening. We will have 13 hours and 36 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 1:01 this afternoon in about 3 hours. It will set at 11:03 this evening. We are 1 day short of first quarter today. Next full moon is August 31st, and it is a blue moon. That's the popular designation for the second full moon in the same month. We had a full moon on August 2nd. Very rare is when there are two blue moons in the same year. The next time that happens will be 2018. So those of you who hang on for six more years will get to experience that rare event. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 3:43 p.m. In Yonkers, 2:26 p.m. Dobbs Ferry, 2:54. Tarrytown, 3:10. And in Peekskill, 3:49 p.m. Now, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war, may they live on in all of our hearts. Sergeant First Class Coaster B. DeBose, age 55, from State Line, Mississippi. He was with the Army Reserve. Killed when an individual wearing an Afghan MP uniform turned his weapon against him in Kandahar province on August 19th. There were a lot of those this past month, a lot of Afghan supposed allies who killed American soldiers. We regret that, but no one said war was not hell. Sergeant David V. Williams, age 24, of Frederick, Maryland. He was with the 2nd Infantry. He died of a non-battle-related injury in Kandahar on August 18th. Specialist James A. Justice, age 21, of Grover, North Carolina. He was with the 173rd Airborne Brigade Combat Team. He died on August 17th. Having been injured on August 14th by small arms. He died in Landstuhl Regional Medical Center in Germany. So at least he was a little closer to home and among Americans in a real hospital. It doesn't soften his death, but perhaps his last moments were at least I'm not on the battlefield. Petty Officer First Class Sean P. Carson, age 32, of Des Moines, Washington. Not Des Moines, Iowa, but Des Moines, Washington. I did not even know there was a Des Moines, Washington. He was one of three sailors killed along with four soldiers when their Black Hawk helicopter crashed in Kandahar province on August 16th. There were also three Afghan soldiers and an Afghan civilian interpreter also killed in the crash. But there were seven Americans, Petty Officer First Class Carson, and the other six were Chief Warrant Officer Third Class Brian D. Hornsby, age 37, from Melbourne, Florida. Sergeant Luis A. Oliver Galbraith, age 41, of San Juan, Puerto Rico. Petty Officer 2nd Class and Navy SEAL David J. Warson, age 27, of Kentwood, Michigan. That's noteworthy. He was a SEAL. He's one of our most highly trained guys, was killed in that. It was the SEALs who took out Osama bin Laden the other year. Chief Warrant Officer 2nd Class Suresh N. A. Krause, age 29, of Cathedral City, California. Petty Officer First Class and also a Navy SEAL, Patrick D. Feeks, age 28, of Edgewater, Maryland. Mind you, these soldiers were killed in a helicopter crash. Sergeant Richard A. Essex, age 23, of Kelseyville, California. And those are the seven. Now, also, Staff Sergeant Eric S. Holman, age 39, of Evans City, Pennsylvania. He was with the 52nd Ordnance Group, killed by a roadside bomb in Ghazni province on August 15th. Private First Class Andrew J. Keller, age 22, of Teagard, Oregon, with the 173rd Airborne Brigade Combat Team, killed by small arms fire in Logar province, August 15th. Gunnery Sergeant Ryan Justice, age 31, of Herndon, Virginia. He was with the Marine Special Ops Regiment. He was one of three Marines killed when an Afghan police officer, here we go again, opened fire after sharing a pre-dawn meal with them at a police compound in Helmand Province on August 10th. That's terrible. The other two killed by that same what do you call him? Enemy. Lance Corporal Gregory T. Buckley, age 21, of Oceanside, New York, right up the road, and Staff Sergeant Scott E. Dickinson, age 29, of San Diego, California. These 15 American servicemen and a number of others, actually, there was a lot were killed in this last 2 weeks, were alive when last we met 2 weeks ago. Please think of them. They gave their lives for their country in order that we can enjoy the fruits of freedom on into the future. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner. My review is of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Fortunately, you do not have the right to be wrong this week, because I have nothing to report. Okay, my guest, first of all, before we get to my guest host, my co-host is Lilibeth Chang. Good morning, Lilibeth.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ross.
Good morning. Now, my guest today is Greg Palast, one of the greatest investigative journalists around today, perhaps one of the best in the history of the world. I can't know that, but sometimes I think he just might be. Greg picks up the rocks and exposes the seedy life which lives beneath them, and I'm speaking of the humankind. I have no problem with crawfish and slimy slugs and worms. I think that is enough of an introduction for Greg, even for so special a man speaking to us from the North Fork of Long Island. Welcome, Greg Palast.
Hey, Bob. Glad to be with you.
Good morning.
Just picking up some rocks this morning.
Well, are you out there on the North Fork? Because we tried to
guess. I am indeed out here on the North Fork, enjoying picking up the rocks with the little critters, because I've been spending my time picking up the corporate rocks with the big, slimy, dangerous critters.
Well, before we get into the slimy, dangerous critters, what is the weather on Long Island this morning?
Absolutely stunning. There's, I think, a little humidity coming in. Stunning, and I hope there'll be enough of a wind that I can actually take my son out on this. I got a tremendous deal on someone giving away a little racing laser, and I want to go out on a boat and have him show me how to do it.
Fantastic. Have you gotten in your swim this morning?
I actually did.
Excellent.
I actually did it. There you go. I jumped. I couldn't get on the program without telling you that I took advantage of Mother Nature's caress here, because, I've been ignoring it too much.
Excellent, excellent.
In fact, I went out last night. I recommend this for anyone, because we're talking about the environmentally sound, if you're on the sound. Last night, after midnight, I took a nice long kayak ride. So it sounds like I'm a real nature guy.
Well, you're in shape, right?
Well, it depends what, if you call kind of a Pillsbury Doughboy shape, I suppose. I'm working on it. Actually, you know, Bob, if you're a writer of any note, and for those who, by the way, I'll give a plug for it just to place people. You know, not everyone knows me offhand. I wrote some bestsellers, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Our Madhouse, Vulture's Picnic. I'm a reporter for BBC TV. So when you're on TV, et cetera, you always end up with groupies. And I was at a book signing. One woman said, "I've been waiting all week for you." I won't describe the other things that she said about what she was doing all week waiting for me. And this was her moment. This was her moment. She's going to give me she's writing down her phone number to,
so that she could do it in person for real, right?
Woman to take this discussion further, but then she looks down at me. She looks at me and says, "You could do a few sit-ups." So there you go.
Well,
I could do, in fact, right now, I could probably do a lot of sit-ups.
So is that what inspired you to get out and swim this morning, to get back into your routine?
not that one. for you, Bob, I want to look good. I don't want you to show up at my place and be embarrassed, because I've got the
You mean for our kite flying adventure later this summer?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's just take a quick break. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Victoria, Nova Scotia, Winnipeg, Toronto, Newfoundland, Canada, Alfalfa, Choctaw, Sequoia, Kingfisher, Pottawatomie, or Pushmataha counties in Oklahoma, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. She is Lilibeth Chang. I am Bob Levinsold. On the phone is Greg Palaston. We will be right back.
Business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, it's a sea of red on Wall Street following a disappointing report on the U.S. Labor Department. Jobless claims unexpectedly rose last week with 372,000 people filing for first-time benefits. At 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the Dow is down 80 points to 13,092. And shares of Guess are also under pressure after the clothing retailer slashed its full-year profit forecast. Guess has been discounting its merchandise to clear excess inventory, and a weak euro has hurt revenue from Europe. And the pilots union at American Airlines is getting ready to call a strike vote if the carrier imposes deeper cuts in benefits and more stringent work rules. A hearing on Americans' request to throw out its contract with the pilots union is set for September 4th before a federal bankruptcy judge. American Airlines, which filed for bankruptcy in November, says any job action by the union would be unlawful. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Liz McDonald.
Fram filters can take a beating. At the Fram Proving Grounds, they get the pound test, where they're hit with 100 PSI of pressure every second for 30,000 seconds. This leads to tough, tested Fram filters, like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. Don't settle for a cheaper filter. Use Fram Extra Guard. Tested, proven, and pounded into shape at the Fram Proving Grounds. Fram, don't fail your engine. See us hit our filters with more tests at Fram.com.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is a crazy man.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. We are speaking with Greg Palast, investigative journalist par excellence. He's speaking to us from the North Fork of Long Island. And Greg, we were just talking about you being in shape for me, and I appreciate that. I shall continue my regimen of getting up and jogging every single morning between 7 and 8 o'clock, and that's what makes me feel good and helps me ward off my own demons. Okay, now, you are you're an activist, of course, in addition to being a journalist. And in fact, you're one of the spokespeople, correct me if I'm wrong, for the Occupy movement. You have a new DVD called Why We Occupy, and it's actually largely footage of an event of that Manhattan Church thing about a year ago, which I actually attended. So much of this I had heard you speak in person. You speak of various heroes and villains, and it's clever the way you do it. After each segment, you say, and that is why we occupy. Tell us about some of these heroes and villains.
Yeah, well, the DVD, by the way, and you could see some of it at gregpalast.com, but the by the way, one thing we've done here is we've also, while I'm, instead of just talking, I have a lot of video of my work from around the world. But, like, for example, when I talk about Jason Alexander, he's one of the people. Jason was one of the 11 guys on the Deepwater Horizon that blew up. And, you know, they said it was an accident, and you see these terrible things, and they're so sorry. But, in fact, what I found out was that BP had a blowout 17 months earlier on the other side of the world, the Caspian Sea. British Petroleum, BP, covered it up through bribery and beatings. And it was caused by the same thing as the Deepwater Horizon blowout, which is the use of cheap crap cement. So they continued because they covered up the first blowout to save money, millions and millions and millions of dollars. The oil company simply didn't change their methods, and then 11 guys blew up. And Jason Alexander, by the way, talk about heroic. He wasn't just kind of standing there a victim. Other people jumped off the rig and abandoned ship when the methane was releasing, when they had the blowout. It hadn't ignited. They're running for their lives, everyone but Jason. Instead, he ran down towards the methane because there was an emergency button, yeah. A big, giant button called the blowout preventer switch. And so when everyone else is abandoning ship, he ran the other way and kept slamming that button. Then there was an ignition, and because he was at the center of where the methane was, he was vaporized. That was the end. And I say, and that's why we occupy. Because he was vaporized, this heroic guy, gave his life to try to save everyone else, to try to stop the methane. He would not have had to do that if BP hadn't lied and lied and lied. And I only found out about this lie because I had an insider from the industry floating in the Caspian Sea who sent
a confidential...
I had to go out and, go find him. And, in fact, in Why We Occupy, if you get download the DVD and for tiny donations or foundation, you'll see that the pictures of me under arrest when I'm trying to get the info, because I had one of those, they took the film, but I had one of those pen cameras with, right. That Ms. Badpenny, my associate, had given me, and I was able to...
Lenny Von Eckhart, Ms.
Yeah,
Badpenny.
Yes. Record one of those, I'm not supposed to say the name.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I blew it.
I'm Google.
She'll have to change her name now.
It'll be okay. But what happened was, so we got the film out because I had one of these secret pen cameras and was able to get the evidence that, in fact, BP had lied. But that's, and then there's, just a quick one, Stanley Ann Mattingly, an Osage Indian who kept noticing that these oil trucks on the Indian, coming to the Indian reservation, supposed to take out oil for that, these little tiny stripper wells on this poor Indian reservation, Oklahoma, were taking more oil than they were paying for. They were stealing it. And she called the FBI. And then I got involved in the investigation, and we found, indeed, these people were stealing the oil and these trucks. Turns out millions of dollars of oil from the Indians and from the federal government, because this is partly owned by the federal government, so you and me got ripped off.
As always.
And we followed the trucks back, and who was at the loading dock telling the truckers to steal the oil? A big, tall guy with white hair named Charles Koch, who is already a billionaire.
Okay, Lily Beth wants to ask you something about that.
So, talking about the Koch brothers, Charles and David, which are the richest guys you have never heard of, net worth of $6 million.
About 20 billion each.
The two brothers are worth $20 billion each, and their two other brothers are worth about $3 billion each. So close to $50 billion for the Koch brothers.
So when asked why they skim, what is coming to them? More overage?
Yes.
That's what they say. More overage.
What overage means is that overage means over the amount you're paying. So Charles Koch was telling these guys, he's already a billionaire. He wasn't worth $50 billion then. He was worth about $3 billion, but not bad. But he's telling his truckers, he's standing there in Oklahoma at a loading dock telling his truckers to steal more oil from Indians. He's already a billionaire. He's taking like 30 bucks a week from each Indian family. And one of his senior executives we had wired. And the executive asked him, why are you doing this? I mean, basically, in other words, you're a billionaire. Why are you stealing 30 bucks from an Indian? And Charles Koch said, and this is a quote. Koch said, I want my fair share, and that's all of it. And that's why we occupy. Now, why do I care about Koch and another just evil Lex Luthor type of billionaire? The answer is because he is one of the biggest donors to the Romney campaign. Now, what makes that particularly evil, he's not even a Republican. He doesn't like Romney. He's doing it because this is a way for him to get the laws and protection and tax deals that he wants and to stay out of prison. Because what these guys do, by the way, there's no such thing as a victimless billionaire. What guys like the Kochs do, they make their money by stealing it. It's that simple. I mean, it's complex. I used to be a federal investigator of of corporate racketeering. And this is a crime, what he was doing, and that's how they make their money. And they were able to get out of prosecution by saying, by basically using their influence to with the senators that they owned and getting the prosecutors fired who try to bring the indictments to arrest these.
Okay, Greg, hold that thought. We will take another break, and we'll come back after our 10:30 break. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Georgiana, Florida, Georgian Terrace, Delaware, Georgia Pass or Georgia Gulch or Georgia Girl Mine, Colorado, or Georgian Forest, Maryland, or Savannah, Georgia, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. I am Bob Lebensholt. She is Lily Beth Chang. He is Greg Palast, and we will be right back.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A massive tropical storm churning in the Caribbean could be heading for South Florida, where one concern is a Republican National Convention slated for Tampa.
Florida Governor Rick Scott tells reporters in Tallahassee, ultimately it's up to Republican Party officials whether or not to cancel or delay the convention. But that decision's a few days away, as Isaac's track could take it right up Tampa Bay or well west into the central Gulf of Mexico.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson, the Afghan president, blaming foreign spies for the recent rise in so-called blue-on-green attacks against our troops. That's violence by those in Afghan military uniforms. But the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan responding,
"We don't have enough data from those who have participated in the attacks to be able to make any kind of a definitive conclusion."
General John Allen speaking from Kabul. Fox News. We report, you decide.
In the north end of New Rochelle, you'll find an absolutely top-notch printer, one of the very best in the entire county. Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is known for its fine work far beyond the Sound Shore area. In fact, this particular Minuteman Press is easily the class of the fleet when it comes to full-service community printers. Located just off North Avenue in New Rochelle in the narrow Waikagil walkway across the parking lot from the A&P, Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is a terrific resource for individuals and small to medium-sized companies who want something very special when it comes to printing. No matter how big or how small your needs, you get great skill and creativity from Maestro Maselli's master printers, all for very reasonable prices. From business cards to brochures, color copies, high-speed printing, informational booklets, and flyers, it's Minuteman Press down that walkway when you're heading to the A&P, offering quality printing at very good prices. Call Frank Maselli at Minuteman Press of New Rochelle, 914-576-0335. 914-576-0335.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for today, mostly sunny, temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. Northwest winds at 5 to 15. It'll be clear tonight. Overnight lows into the mid-60s towards daybreak Friday, and Friday sets up sunny. Highs will reach the upper 80s. Clear to partly cloudy at night in the mid-60s, and Saturday, partial sun. Slight chance of a late-day thunder shower. That's another cool front arriving. Temperatures on Saturday in the lower 80s. Partly sunny, low 80s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
We have ways of making you talk.
You have no idea who you're dealing with.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Now, back to celebrating our environment. This is Environmentally Sound. With
we are back. Is that did that trailer play? No, okay. All right. All right, Lily Beth, please continue.
Hi. So actually, during the break, I was just talking to Mr. Bob about we're looking at the cards. And can you, Greg, can you tell us a little bit about how the Koch brothers had a front called Coalition for Our Children's Future?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, by the way, I should mention, right now you can get the reason. That's coming from a book that's about to come out mm-hmm. in a couple of weeks called Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, mm-hmm. which won't be out for a couple of weeks, but you can get some of this information. And Right now, if you go and you can download that film, Why We Occupy, at the talk and the films, et cetera, including that undercover footage. But in there, in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, we have the story, and there's some, I have a deck of cards too. The Koch brothers had something called Committee for Our Children's Future. We didn't know it was the Koch brothers. All we know was a Committee for Our Children's Future. What was odd about it is that this was back in 1990, in the mid-90s, 94, 96, 98, when the Republicans took control of the House. And how they did that, it was a big surprise when Newt Gingrich took over Congress. Everyone was shocked because suddenly all these Democrats lost their seats. The answer was that about 25 Democrats suddenly had $1 million worth of ads against them in the week before the campaigns, before the election. That was when $1 million actually meant something. It was like an atomic bomb at that time to have massive radio and TV ads attacking Democrats for things like wife beating and all kinds of stuff like that. And the result was that, and it was all being ads done by something called Committee for Our Children's Future. Who were these people concerned about their children's future that it was all about getting rid of Democrats and cutting back the food stamp program? So they didn't seem to there was no charity operation of this. It was purely to kill these Democrats, and then this group kind of disappeared into thin air. When it was investigated, it was found out that this was money from Koch Industries, from the Koch brothers, through Koch Industries, through a group called Triad, you know, which is named after the old Chinese gangs' extortion rackets. And they had a group called Triad, which then set up this the Committee for Our Children's Future. They put in this money. And at that time, that was illegal. This is before the Citizens United case, when a corporation which put money into a campaign was committing a felony crime. And so that was part of the work of the investigations I've been doing. So the Koch brothers ran this illegal operation. And the question is, how do you get away with it? The answer is because the Democrats had an illegal operation, getting money from Indonesia illegally, and basically from a billionaire family called the Riottis. And so Clinton was taking illegal money for his campaign from Indonesia. Foreign money was then disallowed. And corporate money was disallowed, which was what the Kochs did. Both of these were crimes. And according to my insiders in Congress, I said, so what happened? The answer was that they traded billionaires. You don't go after the Kochs. We don't go after the Riottis. We protect each other's billionaires, and everyone went home happy. But now what the Kochs did is now legal. Because what billionaires do, the one dictum for billionaires, is that if you can't do the crime, the time, just make the crime legal. So things like Citizens United made corporate donations legal, and made, by the way, foreign donations effectively legal. People don't realize that the Citizens United case now permits foreigners to donate money to U.S. elections, Congress, Senate, President. And as long as they incorporate, so Al Qaeda Inc., Charles Manson LLC, the Zeta Gang of Mexico, as long as they send $20 and incorporate in Delaware, they can give $1 million to campaigns in the U.S. So basically, the Chinese People Liberation Army, which has a U.S. company called New Order, believe it or not, they sell clothes to Walmart. So the Chinese army, as long as they give their money through New Order, can put in as much money as they want to our campaigns. So that's the story there, is that basically both parties have their billionaires, and they trade them, and they protect each other.
But the Kochs are the biggest billionaires, so they like Citizens United was right, is legalizing what should be constitutionally unconstitutional.
Well, as I've mentioned, okay, and if you go again to, by the way, you can also go to ballotbandits.org and get this stuff or sign up for the book when it comes
okay,
out.
Okay, all right, just 1 second. What the Republicans are trying to do now also is disenfranchise voters all over. I mean, this is something you've written about and something we've spoken about. They're using these voter ID laws, and as we know, there's no crime.
Well,
it is no crime.
Yeah, there is a crime there.
The crime is preventing voters from voting. That's the crime.
Yeah, it is. Well, see, in the new book we have coming out, Ballot Bandits, go to GregPalast.com. You get this stuff.
GregPalast.com. That's P-A-L-A-S-T.
Right. And Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, is, in fact, the subtitle is called How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. And using ID laws is one of them. But the guy that wrote the introduction to Billionaires and Ballot Bandits is a law professor, Bobby Kennedy. And as he says, Karl Rove and his little team should be in jail. Because Bobby Kennedy's dad, Robert Kennedy Sr., wrote the Voting Rights Act, which makes it a crime, a federal crime, to take actions which impede the right of voters, especially if it's based on their race or religion, and or gender. And in fact, all these methods, the IDs, et cetera, are all aimed at directly aimed at eliminating the minority vote. And it's often done not just bad policy, it's unconstitutional, it's illegal, and they manipulate the system in particular to make sure that Hispanic, Black, and Asian voters don't vote.
Clearly. Okay, now, you made me think when you mentioned Bobby Kennedy and, of course, his father, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, who almost certainly would have been president of the United States back then had he not been assassinated. We talk a lot about vultures, you do in your book and elsewhere. I've often thought that Bobby Kennedy Sr. was murdered by jackals, and we're referring to John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman type jackals. Am I right?
Well, I mean, he was murdered by a Palestinian who was upset about his views on Israel.
But a jackal is just anybody anyone who's encouraged by the people who want someone to be killed and supplied and all that, right?
Well, one of the things I would say, because it's all he's a friend of mine. I'm very sensitive about speaking about his father's death. But what is more important in a way than who was the gunman that pulled the trigger? It's who went after his ideas and ideals. Why do we have, and if you read his introduction, very interesting, to Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, Kennedy's introduction, he is very concerned that we are entering a new gilded age in which billionaires buy our elections and the electorate is just standing by, in which they steal elections, buy elections, and this is the big, big danger that we have.
Okay, well, this sounds like a path to revolution. Am I overstating the case?
Well, I think it's a path to counter-revolution. We had a wonderful revolution in 1776 in which we said that there would be no more control by an oligarchy, that the people would decide. In fact, Tom Paine, in the new book, I quote Tom Paine, who says, by the way, if someone wants to use their money to influence this new thing new process of elections. If someone wants to use their money to influence, they are committing, because they're using their money to take away something which is really valuable to me, my vote. As far as I'm concerned, that's armed robbery. It's armed robbery. And that was Tom Paine's view. And what we are seeing now is kind of a massive armed robbery, a coup d'etat by billionaires that will manipulate the elections not only with their money, but steal the votes, and we estimate that at least 6 million people will cast votes that will not be counted in this election.
6 million.
Oof. 6 million. And either that their votes will be cast and not counted.
Or
removed from the voter rolls wrongly.
So is this going to be a Republican landslide then? Because the billionaires favor the Republicans.
No.
Because the Republicans are the plutocrats, right? Except for the misguided grassroots.
I mean, there's in the book I discuss the billionaires from both parties. I am steadfastly nonpartisan, but right now, as Kennedy would say, it happens to be that if you're going to seize control of the planet's finances, you're going to be better off that you have a bunch of jackals, as you say, the vultures. And I use that term in its technical sense, financial vultures, as they call themselves. The financial vultures are all behind Romney,
Okay.
But on the other hand, the big banks are behind Obama because they see a great advantage in that. So, Greg, you know, it's your kind of choice. But
Greg, you're here, Beethoven. Yeah. Let's just take the last break, and then we'll come back for our final segment. Okay, you're listening to WVOX AM, 1460, New Rochelle, New York. She is Lily Beth Chang. I am Bob Levinson. He is Greg Palaston. We will be right back.
National news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Tropical Storm Isaac staying on a likely Florida track, with Governor Rick Scott saying that any Republican convention go-ahead is not his call.
Scott tells reporters in Tallahassee, ultimately it's up to Republican Party officials whether or not to cancel or delay the convention. But that decision's a few days away, as Isaac's track could take it right up Tampa Bay or well west into the central Gulf of Mexico.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson. Are foreign spies behind a rash of so-called green-on-blue attacks on U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan? That's the claim from Afghan President Hamid Karzai. U.S. reaction?
We don't have enough data from those who have participated in the attacks to be able to make any kind of a definitive conclusion.
U.S. Afghanistan Commander General John Allen. New home sales in the U.S. up 3.6% in July. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's all about thought. Hello, this is Guru Madeline, and I'd like to invite the WVOX listeners to tune in to The Power Within with me as your host every Friday afternoon from 3 to 3:30. In these stressful times, I want to tell you how thought accomplishes that which it desires in truth to accomplish. The quality of our thoughts, that is what my show is all about. Please tune in every Friday at 3 o'clock at WVOX.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, okay, hotshot.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome back, everybody, to WVOX 1460. I'm Lily Beth Chang, and we're here with Bob Levinsold and Greg Palast. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Lily Beth. Glad you're with me.
Hi. So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk. I've been reading a lot about Julian Assange of WikiLeaks. So, you know, in the he's in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, right? What do you think of him and of this whole situation that's going on?
Oh, okay. Well, Assange, I don't think much of. And I don't bother with Assange. He's just he's the conduit. The real hero in the WikiLeaks story is Private Bradley Manning, mm-hmm. who right now has been tossed in a dungeon, solitary confinement, not convicted of anything. Except what they're afraid of is what he's done is tell the truth. So Private Bradley Manning is the guy that released this stuff. He's the courageous guy. Assange is just, you know, he was just the guy that had a website that was willing to put it out. And there's often, I think, way, way too much concentration on Assange. If you remember the great Pentagon Papers that released the truth about the war in Vietnam, it was Daniel Ellsberg, a CIA agent, who released those documents, assuming he would end up in prison. He didn't. To his own surprise, he was a courageous and is a courageous man. Bradley Manning is the courageous guy, not Assange. Assange is just just a guy who, with a white scarf and is a wonderful self promoter. And probably we wouldn't have heard about these documents if Assange weren't such a great self promoter. But he's promoting himself. He's not promoting the truth or anything else. It's Bradley Manning who is the guy that really did the thing. I do appreciate that the president of Ecuador, though, has granted Assange asylum. I don't think Assange would be facing prosecution if it weren't for releasing the Manning documents. And I know the president of Ecuador well. In fact, if you read, if you go, by the way, if you go to Why We Occupy, download it at gregpalace.com, you'll see me having a talk with the president of Ecuador, Rafael Correa. And he is, he's just, I think, the most brilliant head of state out there. So he's out there just saying, look, we have to protect Assange only to make a point that the truth requires protection. So it's not about Assange. It's about the truth in those documents. In fact, the confirmation, here's the interesting thing, going back to the early part of our story from Why We Occupy, if it were not for the Manning cables, the WikiLeaks cables, we would not have been able to confirm that there was a prior blowout by British Petroleum on one of its oil rigs before the Deepwater Horizon. Our State Department knew about it and helped cover it up. Condoleezza Rice helped cover it up. So we only know that because of the WikiLeaks Manning documents. So as far as I'm concerned, Manning is a great hero. I appreciate the fact that Assange put it out there and therefore deserves some protection. He shouldn't be prosecuted for putting out the truth.
Right.
So, and I think a great deal of President Correa of Ecuador, who, like I say, I've met many heads of state from Bill Clinton to you know, many presidents around the world in my work, and he is probably the most brilliant, thoughtful man of highest integrity. So I'm glad he acted.
Right. So you think that Rafael Correa, he's basically just trying to not so much protect Julian Assange by giving him asylum, but really just protecting the truth.
What he's making a statement is that there was information in those documents, just like the Pentagon Papers, mm-hmm. in which the United States government knew of great evils and covered it up. They knew of the oil companies stealing oil. They knew of the oil companies paying bribes and killing people, literally, you know, rigs blowing up, people dying, covering it up for them. And information about his own country, which really got him quite angry, you know, that they were a whole campaign of lies and disinformation spread about the nation of Ecuador. Why? Because Ecuador had the temerity to say that Chevron Corporation should clean up the mess and the poisons that they left in the jungles of Ecuador. In fact, if you go to Why We Occupy, you will see me in going down the Amazon in a dugout, the canoe to get that evidence, which I do get, and I lift it up. I put a stick in some oil, and I show you Chevron's oil. And Correa just said that Chevron ought to clean up the poisons that it left in their jungle in the Amazon. And so our government was trying to basically figure out a way to overthrow him, and that was in those documents. So he has every right as a patriot for his nation, and has our, we should be grateful too that he is saying we stand up for the truth.
Right. What about, let me ask you a little bit about the role that Hugo Chavez plays, the president from Venezuela. I'm originally from Venezuela, which is why I'm a little bit curious about what do you think about him and his role here?
Well, you know, Chavez, I've known Chavez for many years. And if you go to my site, go to Billionaires and you go to gregpalace.com, you'll see a film called Assassination Hugo Chavez. I covered Chavez as a reporter for BBC. And, you know, he's a mixed bag. The most important thing is that he's an elected official. Our government was hoping to overthrow him during the Bush administration, you know, back to coup d'etat against him, which is quite evil. We have to, if we believe in democracy, we have to let people pick their leaders.
Yes.
And he stood up against the big oil companies. He has provided a lot of free oil and low-cost oil to poor areas of the United States, which is important. And most important, in Venezuela, he's redistributed the oil wealth, which used to go to a very small, talk about the 1%. The 1% there did very, very well in Venezuela for four centuries. And Chavez changed that radically so that the oil wealth got spread downward. I mean, the problem right now is that, well, two things. I mean, he's facing what may be a fatal illness.
Yes, he
is. But also, you know, especially his supporters, you know, they're becoming, what we have to worry about is just like that we become, that Venezuela becomes more like the United States and does not permit dissent. Bradley Manning is sitting in a dungeon right now for telling the truth. You don't have an equivalent political prisoner in Venezuela right now, but I am worried that there is that tendency because Chavez, his government, for example, closed down a dissident television station. And as a journalist, you know, there I can never support anything that smacks of government censorship or leaning on a news outlet, especially a dissenting outlet. That's completely unacceptable. So you have to worry about always the arrogance of power with anyone. But I don't think it's, you know, we, like I say, we have the problem too here in America. But that doesn't excuse Chavez if he steps over the line there. But so far, the line towards dictatorship has not been stepped over, and that's very, very important.
Okay, now that attempted assassination or desired assassination of Chavez during the Bush years, was that another example of the jackals, as John Perkins would call them, the when the economic hit men are unsuccessful through bribery, that they can't change.
Yeah, they're armed and dangerous. You know. John Perkins, who is who I know very well, is definitely he's right on. He worked in those areas actually with the dark forces until he saw the light.
Oh yeah, he was
and
an economic hitman.
Like one of the investigations I did for BBC Television is that we were able to uncover evidence, for example, that Wackenhut Corporation, which has now changed its name to GEO, was involved in attempts to assassinate or overthrow the government of Venezuela, to manipulate their elections, just as the same companies and same methods that are used to manipulate our elections by messing around with our voter rolls were employed in Venezuela. There was an attempt to mess with the voter rolls of Venezuela. So, you know, again, these guys are, they're armed, they're dangerous, and that's a big problem. We don't, you know, and then we reap the whirlwind. When we overthrew, when I say we, I didn't, when the United States CIA overthrew the government of Mossadegh in Iran in the 50s, at the when the CIA did that, one thing that they did to get rid of the president, elected president of Iran, because he had nationalized British Petroleum, is that they said, well, we have to politicize the Ayatollahs. So the CIA ran a whole program of politicizing the Ayatollahs who worked very hard to stay out of politics. They thought that politics was dirty and they didn't want to participate, and we pushed the Ayatollahs of Iran to get involved in politics, and now we are reaping that whirlwind. If we had overthrown the government of Venezuela, believe me, right now we'd be at war in Venezuela.
Right, I think I agree. But just before we finish this segment, do you think, I mean, Hugo Chavez was voted by the people, basically by the majority, and he actually, you know, got voted by, I guess, the majority who are more like the lower income people. And his promise to the people was to basically bring the country out of poverty. Do you think that's something that he's doing right, that he has been doing over the years? Can we say that, or?
I think that there's no question that Venezuela, because I know Venezuela from the 70s, when there's been two oil booms in Venezuela. In the 70s, there was a massive increase in price when OPEC was first created.
Right.
And the people of Venezuela, the 90% of the people of Venezuela got nothing. They lived in hovels. They lived in cardboard houses with tin roofs. You had the, you know, all over Venezuela and all around Caracas, it was just a pustule of cardboard ghettos.
Greg, unfortunately,
so people never got any of the benefit of the oil. The life expectancy was ridiculously low, no health care, no social benefits. Since Chavez came in, of course,
Greg,
massively reversed,
Greg.
And we now have, in Caracas, you have people with bricks and mortar houses and, you know,
you know what, Greg?
Not
I think
successfully diversified the economy. He's tried,
Greg,
but he's
Greg,
failed.
Greg, we're going to have to interrupt. We're out of time, unfortunately. Of course, we could talk to you for hours about all the stuff that you know. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, excellent.
Thanks very much.
See you at gregpals.com. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you to Lilibeth Chang for her fine contribution to today's program. I hope she'll visit us again soon.
Thank you for having me anytime. Great. It's always a pleasure.
Great, great. Same here. I'd like to thank Greg Palast for joining us on Environmentally Sound this morning. I'd like to thank him for what he does. Greg gets into the minds and faces of the really nasty and greedy people of this world and exposes them. I am one who values justice, fairness, and honesty, and as such, I appreciate Greg. Our thought for the week, it's hard to get rich. It's easy to get religious. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station. Next up, I think, is Howard Sterman. I don't see him yet. I am Bob Levinsohn. She is Lilibeth Chang. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
The station that's with you all day.